Well, it's certainly my privilege to be here with you this morning, too. And I want you to know that we hold in high regard the support that we have from Crossroads Congregation throughout the year. I know you get involved with the Army in a variety of different ways, and we appreciate that. I saw it on your PowerPoint announcement a little bit earlier this morning. And none of that can be taken for granted. But it's all service to the Lord. And we're all in this war together, aren't we? And we're looking for the great day when Jesus will come again and when he will indeed make right all of the injustices in the world. And there have been a lot. There has been a lot. And so when I was thinking after Rob called me as to what I might share with you this morning, my mind started going back over the years. And I hope you don't mind, especially the young folk, me having a little bit of a reflection of bygone days. But it will, I think, help us to see how God has been working through the generations. And I want to talk to you this morning about faith and your future. And it doesn't matter whether you're in your teens or your 20s or your 30s or plus, plus, plus. We won't go beyond that. But it doesn't matter where you are in life. Your future and faith for that future is a critical thing. And as already been mentioned here this morning, we stand on this particular Sunday that is after Advent, but prior to New Year. And it gives us a chance then to look back and also to prepare and to look forward in faith for the future that God has called you to in your particular relationship with him. I like the words of Psalm 90 where King David was reflecting back, I think. I don't know if it was his new year when he wrote this or not, but I think these words are very true. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And one of the great challenges that I think we face as a society today is to understand the generational changes that are taking place. And there are very significant changes taking place. But God is in the midst of all that change. And God is relating himself and revealing himself to every generation so that we can all have the fullness of God in our own experience. And that's where I would like to take you in your thinking this morning. So going back from 2012, 2013, 2014, and preparing to go into 2015... things are changing. Things are happening all the time. And they're not all good things that are happening. Neither are they all bad things. I turned on the TV this morning to CNN just to see what was happening. And lo and behold, another jetliner has gone missing in Malaysia. Wow. You look at this and you say, another one? Another one? 162 souls that are now where? Have they been ushered into eternity? What is happening with them? What is happening with us as we look at that situation? Is there a compassion within your heart that pours out and pleads for God that we might indeed be able to resolve some of these huge challenges? We can look at the experiences in our own world, and we know all too well, even in the last 6 months, the challenges that have come again and again and again as we have walked through the experiences. I was thinking, too, and this takes me back to the turning of the millennium. Yes, I was active in ministry in 2000. And when the year 2000 was arriving, there was all kinds of speculation as to what was going to happen. Do you remember? Computers were all going to crash on the first day of January as it turned midnight. Everything was going to happen. I was serving in northern BC as a divisional commander at that particular time for a number of communities in the north and in the Yukon. And here we were, all being psyched up by the news that we were hearing, planning that every place had sufficient food in store, that if this disaster happened, we'd at least be able to carry people forward and keep them going for a while. And came to 2000, of course, and what happened? Nothing happened. And then I started thinking, and here we are today, and what it is we're thinking about today? Hackers getting into Sony. And so you look at these various things that are happening in our world, and they impact us in one way or another, and we all have to be very careful about how we allow these things to influence our faith. Because if we're not careful, the things of the world can indeed interfere with our faith and cause us to have less than perfect connection with God. Well, we do live in this very troubled world. And Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But do not fear, said Jesus. I have overcome the world. So we see that there is an avenue of faith, regardless of our generation, that will help us to reach out and to claim the promise that God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us, walking with us, working with us, helping us along the way. So there are four areas that I would like to share with you briefly this morning. These four areas can cause us to recall the past and help us to prepare for the future. I'd like to consider, first of all, the heritage of faith. And I realize that that particular phrase or topic will have different applications depending on where you are in your generational experience. Some of you are new to faith, and the heritage is relatively small. Others have had families that go back generations, and the heritage of that faith is something that you're continually building on and enriching as you're going forward. I want to talk to you about the harmony of faith, and we thank the worship team for their ministry with us here this morning and leading us in our worship. The harmonies of faith, how that has changed through the years, and how God is still using that. Then I want to talk to you about the heart of faith. And of course, the heart of the faith is Jesus. It has to be the heart of faith. And we'll talk about that and focus on that. And then the final application of all that, of course, has to do with the hands of faith. So what are we going to do? And I looked at your PowerPoint this morning when you were referencing all the various ministry aids that you have to bless the city. Those are the hands of faith, the hands that actually interact with community and get involved, and I'd like to talk to you a bit about that as well. So going back to the heritage of faith, in your mission statement, you say that you want to see the world as Jesus sees it. Yes, I went online to check this stuff out. You want to see the world as Jesus sees it. What a beautiful thought, to be able to focus on the world with the compassion and the intensity and the concern and the desire that Jesus had when he was walking this earth. It's very important. When we look at the heritage of faith, we look back. And even if you're a new believer, the heritage of faith that you have within God's word takes you back centuries. You can read about the patriarchs and how they walked by faith. How Abraham moved out in that situation from where he was living, and he walked because he believed God, and he moved forward in faith. You can go on and read about all of the others that are recorded as well, and time doesn't give me the opportunity this morning to dwell on them all, but if you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you'll find them all listed there. It talks about Abraham, by faith Abraham, and it tells what he did. By faith Isaac, and it tells what he did. By faith Noah, and what he did. And so on, down through the list. That's a heritage of faith that we all share as believers. We have that confidence in God, just as they, in their generation, had that confidence in God. Their future was bright with promise because of their faith. And they wanted to ensure that that faith was indeed active and alive and well-informed. And that's an important, critical piece. You go from the patriarchs to the prophets, and you look at Isaiah, and you understand something of the cry of his heart when he was talking about pleading for the Messiah to come. And you can read on into Jeremiah and others and find out once again the tremendous confidence that they had that God was ultimately going to make things right. And then we come to the Advent, that day when Jesus was born in that manger that we celebrated last Sunday on Christmas Sunday. We come to that moment when we understand that here is the fullness, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He's bringing it all together in Jesus, and our faith is enriched. We look at the teachings of Christ, the miracles that he performed, all of which required faith. There isn't any miracle that's recorded in Scripture that didn't require faith on someone's part. It's always requiring faith. We look at the crucifixion of Jesus. But we don't see the end. We see a new beginning. Just like the worship team was leading us about that amazing grace, it's seen in the cross, in the love of God that is demonstrated on that cross. We understand something about the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And our faith is recorded when we, our faith is not only recorded, it is rewarded when we come to that understanding that indeed Christ is concerned for us today, regardless of our age. St. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, also talked about the experience of the generational change. When he was writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 5, St. Paul said to young Timothy, I remember the faith that was in your grandmother Eunice. In your grandmother Eunice, and in your mother Lois. And I'm persuaded that it's also in you now. Now, faith is not something that can be handed down from person to person within generations. It's a personal discovery. It's a personal claim. It's an individual experience. But it still has a history that links all the way back to that moment in time when God demonstrated his love for us. I was interested in listening to the Queen's message. I know probably not everybody did that, but I'm one of those guys that did. And within the Queen's message, the Queen's Christmas message this year, she made a statement which I thought was terrific. She said, in spite of all of the challenges they have seen in the past year, she is comforted and guided by, what was it she said? My faith in Christ is an anchor. There you go. My faith in Christ is an anchor. And it's good to know that we do have people that still recognize and testify to those realities. I want to talk about the harmony of faith for a moment now. Because the harmonies of faith are often misunderstood. Some of the world's greatest music, of course, reflect harmonies that we all associate with. When Handel wrote his Hallelujah Chorus, whoever thought that there would be a mob that would, flash mob that would appear in a mall and start singing the Hallelujah Chorus and everyone around would join in? But it's happened. And you can see it on YouTube if you pick it up. On YouTube, you can see a choir that actually went into a mall and just went into the mall very unobtrusively, went into the food court actually. And one or two people started singing, and then two or three more, and two or three more, and two or three more, scattered around that place. And the next thing you know, there was a great anthem of praise that was coming up because of that experience. And the harmony of faith was resonating with people. And they were saying, yes, yes, I want to identify with that. And so to our young people this morning, I say to you, that harmony of faith is critical. The music is simply the vehicle that carries the message. It's the message that goes out to people that brings them the opportunity of forgiveness and redemption and reclamation that is so important. The harmony of faith is much more than music, though. It has to do with the practice of relationships, doesn't it? That's where the harmony of faith really interfaces, in our relationships with God. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's the relationship harmony that the world so desperately needs today. And it's found within the love of God. And I know of no other source where you're going to find it. But you will find it within the love of God. So your faith becomes active then in the experience and in the demonstration of that harmony of faith. What was it St. Paul said? As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. That harmony of faith is still there. It's still active today, and the world needs to hear it. We want to talk for a few moments, too, about the heart of faith, and that's about Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who would come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith does have a reward. Faith does have a purpose, and faith does have a place in your experience, and as you encourage it and reinforce it and renew it, you will find that it brings to you that closeness of God. We also look at that whole experience of Jesus, and the heart of faith is seen in that gospel which you all know, and you might like to repeat with me. John 3:16, you all know that verse, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm also challenged as I go on and read verses 17 and 18. They don't get quite the same amount of attention as John 3:16, but they're critical to the life of faith. It goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, the heart of faith and the harmony of faith are all connected. Jesus came for a very specific purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was me. That was you. That is the world. And we have a place within this world to let our light shine for his glory. We look at the hands of faith, and this really challenged my thinking. I want to share with you a personal encounter here. But first, let me share with you James 2:14. It's on the text, I think, on the board there. And James, in his epistle, is saying, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So faith is critical to our own experience, but it's even more critical to my brother and my sister, to my neighbor. What was it that Jesus said in giving the direction with regards to what was the most important commandment? That we were to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and we were to love our neighbor as ourselves. The harmony of faith interacting, the harmony of faith in that whole sense where God is seeking to bring us all together in unity of the Spirit of God and Christ. But here's the personal experience, and there were two. The first one went back as I picked up the most recent publication of Maclean's magazine. On the front cover is a picture of little 5-year-old, I can't remember his name now, Marcus Cirolo, Captain Sorolo's son. Remember that the captain was killed while he was standing on guard at the cenotaph. And this little boy's picture now is on the latest edition of Maclean's magazine. But it causes me to ask the question, what kind of faith is he going to need to move into 2015? Who's going to walk alongside him? He's holding the hands of different people on each side of him. But that's just for the picture. Going through life, he's also going to need faith. He's going to need other people who will walk alongside. And that's what the church does. And the church, with all of its faults and failures, does it better than any other institution I know. It really does. And thank you for what you do in this community, because that's all part of it. The second had to do with the experience of a young lady who was apparently riding on a train in Australia when that devastating thing happened and the gunman went into the coffee cafe. You remember that. You don't need me to recite all of that. And apparently this young lady was riding on the train, and she noticed beside her that there was another young lady wearing a hijab, a Muslim wearing a hijab. And she was looking at her iPhone and reading of this terrible thing that was happening in her community. And she was obviously troubled by this, and she started to remove her hijab. But the lady sitting with her was so sensed by what was happening, she said, "No, don't do that. I'll ride with you." And I thought to myself, yes, I don't know if that lady was a Christian or not, but it sounds like something a Christian would do. I'll ride with you. It sounds like something a Christian should do. I'll ride with you. Wasn't it Jesus who said, if somebody asks you to walk with them 1 mile, go with them two? I'll ride with you. And I think in our world today, as the church is also going through generational change, we're finding different ways where we can say, I'll ride with you. I'll walk alongside. I'll be there for you. And together, we will walk down this road of faith. And in that process, we share our experience. We share our knowledge of Christ. We share our experience in Christ. We invite others to come into that experience of finding Christ as Savior and Lord that we've been singing about here this morning. And God continues to bless us. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you here this morning. Didn't realize I was going to preach for a half an hour, but it's been good to be with you here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. And may God bless Pastor Rob and the leadership team here as you together prepare your hearts to walk into 2015. It's my prayer that indeed, as you go forward, you will continue to go with God, that He will continue to bless and prosper this congregation individually and collectively in your ministry and in your personal lives. And I would like you, if you would, just to share with me in reading a benediction, and then we'll leave it over to, is it the worship team that comes back, and conclude our service in that way this morning. Let's make this our prayer together as we conclude this message. If you would, please, reading with me. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.